Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to see all of you out. And if you're visiting with us, we just want you to know that we are so happy that you are here. And one thing that you're going to notice this morning is that we're not going to be here as long as we normally are because of the threat of inclement weather. We're going to be having this first service that we normally have, and then we'll go on to our homes. Normally, we would have a Bible class and then go on and have a second period of worship. And so we just want you to know that if you are visiting with us, that that is what you can expect if you come back and worship with us. And we do hope that that opportunity avails itself to you, as you are always welcome here. I would encourage you to open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, here in just a minute. We're going to be looking at a section of that chapter towards the end of that chapter. It'll be on page 530 if you want to go on and take your Bibles, if you're using the Pew Bible, page 530. But this is a section of Scripture in which Solomon is writing as a father giving instructions to his son. He's instructing his son to seek godly wisdom. In other words, to live in a godly way in an ungodly world. And I think all of us can probably relate to this concept of parents instructing their children to live in upright and righteous ways. Maybe growing up, you remember your parents telling you, hey, remember who you are. Make the right choices. Make the right decisions today. And if you were a teenager and you think about that, you probably thought, man, this is really getting annoying. I'm getting tired of hearing this over and over again. But as you got older, you probably began to realize the value of statements like that. And you began to understand why your parents were telling you that. And maybe if you've had children, you've done the same with them. And you understand again why it is that happens. Why parents instill this in their children. Because it's a parent's responsibility and a parent's desire to guard the heart of their children. We understand that scriptures tell us that parents are to instruct their children. Fathers are to train their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so there's a motivation as a parent to do this for a child. But you know, it's also important for adults to recognize the importance of guarding the heart. It's important for adults to practice what they preach to their children. Because we have to be mindful that Satan is alive, Satan is active, and he's not just after our children, he's after us as well. And so regardless of whether we are young or whether we are old, whether we have children or we don't have children, this is a very important topic to consider. Because each and every one of us have a heart, and each and every one of us have a heart that is to be guided or guarded. It is the heart that pours forth our character, that demonstrates our outlook, our values. It is the disposition of the heart that determines whether or not we will honor and serve God. And Satan sees the value of the heart. And he knows that if he can steal our heart from us, that he can keep us off the path of righteousness and keep us on a path toward destruction. But thankfully, the book of Proverbs gives us practical advice on how we can keep and protect our hearts. And so I would encourage you to, again, look with me at chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, as this father specifically tells his son to guard his heart, or as the ESV puts it, to keep his heart. And as he gives this instruction, he then will go on to give some practical application for how that is to be done. And I want you to notice in verse 20 what the father says to the son. He says, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh." And so to help his son hear and retain godly words of wisdom, he's imploring his son to use his eyes, his ears, his heart. The father is saying, "Listen to my words, son. Focus on my words. Meditate on my words." And we recognize that there is a big difference between hearing for the sake of hearing and hearing for the sake of applying. Sometimes we hear words, but those words go in one ear and out the other. But when it comes to hearing godly wisdom and obtaining godly wisdom, those words need to go in one ear and then stay. We need to meditate on them, dwell on them. Psalm 119:15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. And so the precursor to guarding our hearts is a desire not just to hear the words of God, to hear godly wisdom, but to meditate on it and focus on it. And the Father goes on and says that the wise words of God are life to those who find them and healing to all flesh. And you think about this phrase, they're healing to all flesh, and we think, well, how is that possible? That the words of God, the words of life, their life and healing to flesh. Well, physically speaking, it's true that by living according to the will and the ways and the word of God, it can have positive physical benefits. Right? Somebody who's living by godly wisdom isn't going to suffer the effects of alcoholism and damage their liver. Somebody who's living by the words of godly wisdom, they're not going to have issues regarding cognitive decline because they're abusing drugs. Like, there is positive health benefits that can come with living a godly life. But spiritually speaking, the wise words of God are words that bring healing and bring life to a person's soul. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And just a few verses later, in verse 68, Peter confesses that Jesus has the words of eternal life. And so the things that we read here in the wisdom literature, the things that we read all throughout Scripture, those are things that are deserving of our focus, of our meditation, because those are the only words in all the world that can bring true healing to our souls. And so after urging his son to listen, the Father says in verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And this is really the focal point of the section of Scripture that we're looking at this morning. And again, he talks about this idea of keeping the heart, or guarding the heart with all vigilance. We already mentioned that the heart of a man reveals a man's attitude, his values, his character, whether good or bad. And so it's important to remember that the measure of a man is not based on what is seen on the outside. It's based on what originates and comes from the heart. Jesus says as much in Matthew chapter 23 in verse 27, when he's pronouncing those woes against the scribes and the Pharisees. And he says in verse 27 of Matthew chapter 23, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. Outwardly, they appeared righteous. Outwardly, they appeared upright. But Jesus indicates that inside, their hearts were corrupt and dead. Who we really are comes from within, which is why the heart is so valuable and why it is so worth and worthy of being guarded. We need to guard the heart. If you're like me, one of the last things you do before you go to bed at night is you check your doors to make sure that they're locked. And one of the reasons you do that is because you want to protect what is within the confines of your home. You don't want someone coming in and taking your possessions. You don't want somebody coming in and potentially harming your family. And so you guard and you protect what is valuable to you. And in the same way, we need to guard and protect our hearts. It's valuable, and we cannot afford to allow evil to break in and vandalize it. Because once evil is in, it is extremely difficult to remove. We have this stove that's a white stove, glass top. We had it at our other house. And if you poured anything on it, boiling water poured over on that hot surface, if you got any food on it, man, it stained so bad. And you would scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub, and it was almost impossible to get it all off. That's what evil can do to the heart. When evil comes in, it stains it. It lines the walls of your heart with wickedness, and it is so difficult to remove that. There are so many people today who are still trying to scrub the walls of their heart because of past mistakes, still being influenced by decisions to view pornography maybe decades ago, and it's still impacting them. Spending time with people they knew they shouldn't have spent time with at that particular point, but they decided to, and now, still, years later, they're still being influenced because of those choices and those associations. Wickedness has a way of staining the heart and sticking around. And so we need to make sure that we're taking steps to keep these evil influences out of our lives so that our hearts can remain pure and focused on what they need to be focused on. And so he says, keep your heart. Guard it. But then he goes on and he gives some practical guidance on how we can guard our hearts. And the first thing he mentions is in verse 24. He says, put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. I want you to notice that a similar statement is made in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Down in verse 29 of Ephesians 4, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so here in Proverbs chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, there's an emphasis on pure speech. And I believe that pure speech is an indication of a heart that has been guarded, a heart that has been kept, which means that impure speech is an indication of a heart that has not been guarded. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus says it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And you want to know one of the best ways to prevent this type of corrupt speech from coming out of our hearts? It's by doing everything we can to keep corrupt speech from coming in. We need to be careful what we're allowing to come through our ears. It is said that the ears are one of the gateways to the hearts. And when we allow our ears to absorb corrupt speech, the speech of the world, then it's only a matter of time before that speech begins to come out of our own hearts and our own lips. And Satan is trying to pump as much of this into our hearts as he can. So we need to be intentional about minimizing the situations that we're in which we could be exposed to this corrupting speech. And that involves making sure that we're mindful of what we're absorbing through entertainment. If there are certain groups of people we know are going to be using corrupt speech, we need to try and stay away from those groups. Sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes it's in the workplace. That doesn't mean you can't say anything about it. I know of an individual who was in a workplace where commonly corrupt language was being used, and he stood up and he said something about it. He said, guys, I don't appreciate it. And you know what they did? They stopped. So don't be afraid to stand up and say something in an effort to guard your heart. And so we need to be careful what we're allowing in our ears, but we also need to be careful with what we see. Look with me at verse 25. The Father says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Now, this is figurative language that the Father is using in an effort to say we need to live lives that are focused, lives that have a purpose and an aim. But as it relates to guarding our hearts, we can take these verses somewhat literally. We literally need to have eyes that are focused in the right direction. that are looking at the right things. Because we said the ears are one of the gateways to the heart, so too are the eyes. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, Jesus said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" And so again, in an effort to guard the heart, we need to be careful what we allow our eyes to focus on. And again, goes back to entertainment. It again goes back to what we're allowing to come across our phones, our tablets, our computers, our television via the internet. Things we have to monitor, be on guard against. Growing up, my best friend's parents were really, really mindful of this concept. And they were really careful about what they allowed their children to be exposed to within the confines of their own home. And so when you would walk in to the living room of their house, there was something that was noticeably absent. It was a television. Now, they had one. It was about 12 inches big, but it stayed in the closet. And the only time the television came out was in the case of severe weather, which they would get their severe weather updates. When the weather passed, the TV would go back into the closet. It wasn't until I was probably a junior in high school that I remember watching an actual sporting event on that television. They were mindful, doing what they could to keep negative influences from entering in through the eyes of their children and making sure that they minimized the negative impacts on the hearts of their children. And that was impressive to me. So we need to make sure that we're careful what we let our eyes linger upon. We also need to be careful where we allow our feet to go. Look with me at verse 26 and 27. "Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." The world is full of many different paths, but there is only one path that leads to life. It is the path of godly wisdom. It is the path that lights our way, that shows us the obstacles, the dangers of life. And Satan's wanting to lure us off that path, take us down different offshoots, trick us into thinking that somehow the path that he lays before us will lead us to the same destination. But again, verse 27, "Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." If we are going to guard our hearts, we have got to stay focused. We have to make sure that our eyes are looking at the path that God has set before us, the path that He has illuminated. We need not get tricked into thinking that there is another way, another route, that leads to Him. And thankfully, God is willing to walk with us, helping us continually move in the right direction. But it takes trust and reliance in Him, a willingness to humble ourselves and put aside our desires, our wants, and to say, "God, I trust in you with all my heart. I'm going to lean on you, not myself. I'm going to acknowledge you because I trust that you will make my path straight." God is with us. God is for us. He wants us to succeed in guarding our hearts and staying on the path of righteousness. Because if we stay on that path, if we truly trust in Him and lean not on our own understanding, as Proverbs 3 says, then He will ensure
that we reach the end victorious. Are you a Christian this morning? Have you given your life to Him? Are you walking with Him? Trusting in Him? If you're not, you're missing out on the greatest relationship that you could ever be a part of. Because it is a relationship that brings spiritual blessing in the here and now. A peace that passes understanding. A joy beyond comprehension. A living hope. A hope of the eternal life to come. In the full and unveiled glory of your Heavenly Father. If you're ready to enter into that relationship, you can repent of your sins, confessing that Jesus is Lord. You can be buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism. If that is a decision that you're ready to make this morning, we encourage you to come forward as together we stand and as we sing.